good to be with you again. If you may open then in your Bibles to John, the Gospel according to John, chapter
14.
The Gospel according to John, chapter 14. And the title of this message this morning, a place prepared for you. A place prepared for you. John 14, and I will read from verse 1 to verse 3. From the ESV. Let your hearts be not troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Our wonderful God and our precious Redeemer, this morning we stand before you, O God, in awe. That, O God, you choose, O Heavenly Father, to be among us a sinful people, but saved by your grace, O God. Thank you this morning, our Father, that you will speak to us. You will address us this morning, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, speak, O God, until your church is built. Until, O God, the world, the earth is filled with your glory. Thank you, our wonderful God, that you will give us the gift of speech and the gift of hearing, O God. Help us as we articulate your ways. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all say, Amen. When God created the heavens and the earth, everything that He created, He said it was good and it was perfect. Man had that privilege, man had that opportunity to speak to God face to face. Man had that glorious and wonderful, marvelous fellowship with God in the garden of God. Until sin entered into the world and brought forth separation from God, sin brought forth trouble in the world. Sin brought unfaithfulness towards one another. Sin brought hatred. Sin brought death and brought murder. But God in His grace and God in His mercy, He came at the very same time and made a covenant with men, the covenant of grace. God came and promised a Redeemer that was to come into the world and take away our troubles. A Redeemer, a Savior that was to come into the world and remove this trouble in us and take away this sin. A Savior was to come into the world and save sinners like me and you. So this morning we have words of Jesus Christ speaking to His disciples, a troubled hearted people. He's speaking to them, promising them that He is going to correct the wrongs that had happened before. This morning we look at verses 2 and 3. Last week we had the privilege of looking at verse 1.
Verse 2 and 3.
Verse 1. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So what Jesus is doing today, he's continuing to elevate their hearts. He's elevating their hearts. He's comforting his people over and over again. He's continuing in his quest to help them to focus unto him.
He understands
they have crushed spirits. But in that, we as a people sitting here, we can see how Jesus operates for the sake of his people. We can see that the Bible is true, that God draws near to the broken hearted, and God saves the crushed in spirit. So he speaks to them this morning. Or he speaks to us this morning. Let me put it that way. He encourages the troubled heart. He's helping people to hold fast to the confession of their hope. He's helping us to see the beauty of looking up to heaven when there is trouble, the beauty of concentrating and bringing Christ closer to us when there is trouble, when our hearts are sinking in worry or despair. He's helping them to keep. We said last week, while you were saying, he says, you believe in God, also believe in me. So he's saying, keep on believing in Christ. We need to keep on believing in Christ. If we want to have our trouble removed or our trouble be settled, we need to continue to focus unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So looking at these verses this morning, we begin to see the reason why we should trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the reason why it's so significant for people to believe in Jesus. We see that it is very important to lift up your eyes unto the Lord. Especially since we are living in this world of trouble. A world of sin, a world of separation from God, a world of hatred, a world of unfaithfulness and deception, a world of sorrow and pain, a world covered with darkness. So as we look at this dwelling place this morning, as we look at Christ's faithfulness and love, as we look in his holy and precious sacrifice that he has done for us at the cross, there are two reasons from this text that we have read, two reasons why we should continue to trust in the Lord, two reasons why we should focus unto the Lord, two reasons why people need to believe in Jesus. Two reasons why, if you don't believe in Jesus, you are lost. One, the verses tells us that there are many rooms in heaven. Secondly, the verses tells us that we shall be with him forever. If we believe, we shall be with him forever. And we understand that these are heart-taking statements. As they're sitting there, contemplating in their minds, contemplating in their hearts, they're thinking something is about to happen to them. They're thinking, now what is going to be happening to them as Christ is being taken away from them? this way that troubles their hearts. First, the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many rooms. There are many rooms in the Father's house. There is a dwelling place in heaven. There is a true home in heaven. So, I said last week, he's talking to believers who were troubled in their hearts. But he's saying there's a home in heaven. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that where you are right now is not your home where you are right now. You might be feeling good maybe about the life that you have in this world, but trouble is always going to follow you because this is not home. There is a home that is in heaven. We remember in the same upper room discourse where he is right now in chapter number 17, he's praying for them. He says, Father, keep them, look after them while they are here on earth, but they are not of the world. There is a home for them somewhere else, but not around here where there is trouble, where there is pain, where there is sorrow. There is a place somewhere where there is not death, where there is no trouble, and where there is no sickness. A place that is different than this. It has to be different. It has to be different, brethren. Because it is useless. It will be hopeless and helpless to be told of a place if it will be the same as this place where we are today. It has to be different. If Jesus is taking his time and say, I'm going to prepare a place, so it has to be a different place than this. So it is a place that we need as a Christian to look forward to go to. A place in which, as unbelievers, we should cry out and say, Lord, show me a way how to get there. And if you are not home right now, so why will you want to feel at home? If we are not home right now, why would you think that you must feel like you're at home? That is why Jesus says we'll have trouble in this world, because this world is not our home. But there is a home for the believer. And for us going to that place, it is not like moving from South Africa to Australia because of crime. It is not like moving from South Africa to Dubai because of climate change. This is about leaving behind a place of trouble, a place of sorrow, a place of sin and death. This is about going and marching into the holy place of God, the dwelling of the Most High God. Jesus Christ says there are many rooms. I want you not to miss this one. There are many rooms, but I go to prepare. You need to be asking yourself, how is it that there are many rooms, but you're still saying you're going to prepare? What is it? What is this preparing that you're talking about? If you're telling me you have a place for me, what is it that you're going to prepare? You need to go through and see this thing. But first, I think it is very important to know that you must be allocated your room while you are here on earth. Because Jesus Christ, when he says, you believe in God, believe also in me, he's telling them, The very same way that you believe in God, you need to believe in Christ. If he's saying like this, then he's making it clear that those who are in Christ, those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ right now, those who are separated from sin right now, those who have cast their burdens upon Jesus right now, they have a place in heaven. There are many roads. What does this tell you? It means to me that all who come to Jesus, all who turn away from their sins and trust in Him, all who come to Him in faith and repentance, they have a home, they have a place for them that is only for them. So in other words, none of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be left without a home, will stay in this world wondering where am I going, what am I going to be, or where am I going to be. None should be wondering if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to recognize you are not home. Then you need to challenge yourself. How do I get home? You need to find a way. There must be a way that leads home. Verse 6 of John chapter 14, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. He's challenging us to see that He is the only way unto God. There is no other way. So we cannot trust in any other thing else in this world or in anywhere else but Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. You have to know a true home. A place where you feel you are home. A brother of mine, a younger brother of mine, lost his job recently. I spoke to him over the phone and I sent him some SMSs. When I listened to his story, I was also troubled in my heart for his sake. But after going through a little bit of talk, he says to me, you know what, good? I would rather go home. If I can go home to my mother, my mother can treat me better than the people that I stay with here. You'll see where I'm leading you. Next, a sister of mine. She's just separated from her husband after a long time of marriage because of that man's infidelity. But what did she do? She took her bags. She went home. In Luke chapter 15, we find the young prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, we find the young prodigal son. After demanding his share from his father, he took his money and wasted it with prostitutes. After some time, he lost everything. He had nothing in the pocket, no food, no work, no friends. And he finds a job to feed pigs. The Bible tells us that he got so hungry, lonely, devastated, troubled, in a way that he desired to eat the food of the pigs. But, when he made up his mind, when he came to his senses, when he started to reason like a human being, the Bible tells us that he remembered his father. He took a journey back home. Here's my point. It is a blessing to have a place called home. That is what Jesus is bringing to us this morning. You must have a place to call home, a place where you will feel to be at home. Question: do you have that place? Can you assuredly say that this world is not my home? I'm just passing by. Can you confidently say that the Lord is my rock and my salvation? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my hiding place. He preserved me from trouble. He surrounds me with shouts of deliverance. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the maritime. Then he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps sure. Can you say? Can you confidently say? Christ says there are many rooms. But he says some other words in verse number 2, which I think they are a very blessing to us this morning. He says, if it were not so, if it was not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare? If yes, if it was not so. In other words, if there was no place for you, the ones who believe in Jesus, if there was no place for you in heaven, would I have not told you that there is no place for you? Now that I do say there is a place for you, it means there is a place for you. You just need to trust in me. Why am I saying this is a blessing? We see the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is faithful. He will never leave you nor forsake you, regardless of trouble, regardless of any trial in this world. He's faithful and he's just. What he says, it is what he says. It does not change. John, in chapter number 1, because he says, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God. That's how we need to know him. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is what he is. So if he says, I am going to prepare the place, that's why he says. If he says there are many rooms, it means there are many rooms in heaven. But then, what does he mean when he says, I'm going to prepare a place? I think that is very important. I think that is the core, that is the foundation of the gospel. That is the core of our teaching. What does Jesus mean when he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you? Remember, these words, he's speaking to a troubled-hearted people. People who have just heard that Jesus is going to be killed. People who are just being told that they are going to fall into sin. Peter is about to deny the Lord. Judas is about to betray. Actually, he's gone already to betray our Lord Jesus Christ. They're sitting there devastated, troubled, spiritually depressed, perplexed, dismayed. And he says to them, there are many rooms. But before you can get there, I need to go and prepare a place for you. What does it mean? Let's look at chapter 13, verse
26.
He's speaking to Peter here. I think we will find our answer in this one. Oh, sorry, the Bible says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterwards. 13:36. He's about to be crucified. This is last night with his disciples, and they understand that exactly. But he says, you are not going to go with me right now. In other words, you cannot die the death that I must die for you. I'm not saying that you cannot be crucified. You can be crucified. Two people were crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, but Jesus says, the death that I'm about to die, you cannot die. I'm the one who must be carrying your suffering, your sins, your shame in that cross. You cannot carry my shame because I don't have my shame. You cannot carry the shame of the whole world, the sin of the world, because you are a sinner yourself. So I must die for you. If I don't go and die, if I don't prepare this place, there will be no home, there will be no rooms, there will be no house for you in heaven, and there will be no salvation of sinners. I must go and die first. That is what Jesus is saying when he says, I go prepare a place. I must go die first. Before any believer can come to heaven, Jesus must die first. Mr. Ross read Isaiah chapter 6. A sinful man approaching the throne of God. Then he saw the angels covering their face and their feet, shouting, Holy, Holy, Holy is our God. And what happened to him? He saw himself a sinner, unworthy to be in the presence of God, unworthy to go to heaven. And he said, woe unto me, I am lost, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And if you continue to read where Mr. Russ didn't read, it says an angel of the Lord came and took a coal out of the altar, and the angel dropped that coal in the mouth, and he said, behold, now you are clean, now you can stand in the presence of God. You need to be clean. A preparation must be made, must be done for you before you can be in heaven. That is our joy. Christ dies for his sheep, he dies for us. He prepares a place for the believers so that the believers, they may be where he is. If I don't go and die, there will be no resting place for you. He's telling Peter. So we sit here. We look on the glorious day of the cross. We see the love of Christ. It was made sin for us. We see Jesus' willingness to go and be a sacrifice for us, brothers and sisters. He says, I go willingly What do you see? What do we see there? We see love. For the Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave with his only Son, so that whosoever believes, if you will believe, if you will come to him, so that you may not perish. So Jesus is saying, I'm going ahead of you. Before you go, I must go and prepare. So I must go first. So we serve a Christ who went first for us, so that he may prepare a place for us. We serve a Christ who cleansed us from within while we are here on earth, so that when we pass away from this world, we know we have a place in heaven, so that we live and sing praises unto the Lord, songs of praise and joy unto the Lord. For he has done a marvelous thing. Die for us. So that we may be where he is. That is the reason why he came. So that he becomes a ransom for many. A ransom for many. Going ahead. Those of you who have been to hotels, you will know. Those of you who have been to hotels or lodges, Formula One sometimes as well. This is how it works. You make a reservation beforehand. You must make a reservation beforehand. You must book your place. Then the person who's taking a reservation will take your details. The most important thing, he must take your name. Your name must be written in a book. The name must be written in a book called reservation book, or those who've got computer reservation machine. But they must still take your requirements. What is it that you want us to do for you when you get there? Then you start driving 2 months later. When you get there, your place is already prepared. Your room is already allocated. They're only giving you a key with a number. Then you get into your room. Then you rest. Then you enjoy your stay. In the same way, Jesus Christ says, I must go ahead and prepare a place for you, so that when you get there, you have a room allocated to you. If he goes to prepare a place for us, so what must we do? It's a recap, I've already said it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry unto the Lord. God save me. You are holy, I am a sinner. You are right and I am wrong. You are right and I am wrong. You have a place in heaven, I have no home in this world. But he says then, we shall be with him. We shall be with him. This is a statement that will give us as Christians great comfort. Friends, it should comfort you that you'll be with Jesus, that the trouble of this world will no longer follow you, that the trouble of this world will be taken away from you. We shall abide with him. We shall live with him. He's coming for us. And we will be welcome in heaven because of him. And I know some people get it wrong, and then they think dying is to be with the Lord. That is not true. The Bible does not teach that dying is to be with the Lord. But to be with the Lord is to pass through death and enter into eternal life. It's talking about you He's talking about you right now having a relationship with God, preparing for your place that is in heaven by coming to Jesus in repentance and faith. And when you die, when you pass from this world, you pass from death, you enter into eternal life. He's speaking about us dying into sin right now, having a new heart, God taking away that heart of stone and putting a heart of flesh in us so that we may be able to do His statutes and commandments. God sprinkling our heart with His holy water. If we shall be with Jesus, you need to obtain life right now. You need to die with Him right now. In other words, you must be immersed in His life. His life must be your life. You must be in Him. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6, verse 8, he says,
verse 8.
Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. Colossians 3, verse
4. Chapter 3, verse 4.
When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you'll also appear with Him in glory. Jesus Christ is coming, brothers and sisters. The song we just sang is speaking about those crowns, as my friend was saying. So, in other words, we are reminded to look forward, to anticipate of the world to come. He's coming again. It may not be now. It may not be tomorrow. But He's coming. Maybe you will die before He comes, but He's still coming. So what? So what now? You need to make sure that before He comes in this world, that your sins are forgiven before He comes, before you pass on from this world, you are cleansed from within. Then you are cleansed. You need to make sure that in this world, before Christ comes, you are the blessed. Then you must be the blessed man of Psalm chapter number 1. We know the blessed man of Psalm chapter 1. That is the man who loves God. How do we know He loves God? Because the Bible says that He loves the word of God. He meditates on the word of God day and night. The Bible tells us it's like a tree planted by the stream, and He pulls water from the stream, and His leaves are always green. Whatever He does, He flourishes. This is a man who has a place in heaven. He does not walk in the council of the wicked. He does not sit in the seat with scoffers. The blessed man. A man who has a place in heaven. A man who shall see God face to face. Oh, the beauty. The glory. When He returns, the joy of Christians when they shall see Christ return, and their celebration where their Lord comes, then the trouble is taken away, then the sorrow is moved from them, then they are in a place where the Lord shall wipe their tears. A place where they will walk in streets of gold. The place of righteousness, where the righteousness of God shines forever. Don't you want to be there?
It's
a place where there's no need for the sun to shine. The place where there's no need for the moon to shine by night. But the Bible tells us that God Himself, the Lord Himself, will be a light of that place. Don't you want to be there? Me, I believe that we do. That is why we are here. Can we then continue to believe in the Lord? Continue to trust in Him, holding on that confession of
God.
Do you have a place in heaven? Can you call Jesus Christ and say, Jesus Christ is your hope of glory? My friends, this is what we learn
today.
This is what we learn. We need to look at the cross for our comfort. We need to look at the cross for our redemption, brothers and sisters. For our hope, we must look at the cross. Because it was at the cross where Jesus Christ became a substitute for us, where He died on our place, where me and you were supposed to die and face the wrath of God. Christ took the wrath of God upon Himself at the cross. At the cross, Christ died to deliver many from the pit. It was at the cross where Jesus Christ proved to be the bread of life. And the Bible tells us that whosoever comes to Him shall not hunger. Whosoever believes in Him shall not be thirsty. It was at the cross where Jesus Christ proved to be the light of the world. And whosoever follows Him will never walk in darkness. They will not walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. At the cross, Jesus Christ proved to be the door. And anyone who enters by Him will go in and go out and find pasture. We need to love the cross. We must love the cross. Because of the cross, we stand today as the children. The Bible tells us that we are the children of God if we have believed in the Lord. Because of the cross. It was at the cross where Christ proved that He is the good shepherd who lays His life down for His sheep. At the cross, He proved that He is the resurrection and the life, and whosoever believes in Him, though he dies, so that those who die, though they die, they shall live again. And we shall see next week that because of the cross, declares to us that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Why is that important? Because it says, no one shall come to the Father except through Him.
Friends,
brothers and sisters, congregation of God, because of the cross, sinners who were chased out of the garden of God because of sin, people who were cursed, now they are able to come to God and be with God. Because of the cross, now we can draw near to God. Now the curse has been taken away. Those who are far off are now being brought closer, and we are reconciled to God because of the cross. The Bible says, while we were still weak, Christ died
for us.
The Bible says, while we were yet enemies of God, God Himself reconciled us to Himself through the blood of His Son. How did the disciples receive this message? How should we receive this message? How do they respond to this message of Christ saying, there are many rooms, you shall be with me? How did they respond? Why? How must we respond?
Thomas
became so desperate. He wanted to be with the Lord. Thomas became so desperate. He wanted to know the way. If you read further, he wanted to know the way. Philip became so desperate that he wanted to see God right now. He says, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. So friends, we need to be so desperate for the Lord when we hear this message. We need to long for Him and desire Him in our own hearts. We need to inquire about the way. How can I get there? We need to inquire about our God. How can I come closer to God?
For I am a sinner, and I am closer to God, and no sin can come closer to me.
But how can I come to God? We need to ask ourselves. We need to inquire, do I have a room in heaven? Am I going to be with the Lord in the future? But those who believe, we need to live as those who are already in heaven. We need to show that we are now the citizens of God in the heavens. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says when he writes to the church of Philip. Philip chapter number 1, verse 27.
Apostle Paul verse 27.
Says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again, or only hear of you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ Jesus. Those are the people who have hope. They know they've got rooms in heaven. They know they shall be with God. So right now, in this world, they live as citizens of heaven. They show in their lives, the way they live, that they are the children of God. Their character proves that they are the children of God. The way they speak, they are the children of God. The way they walk, they are the children of God. The friends they have show they are the children of God. Children of God. And those who are not in Christ, flee from the wrath to come. Recognize you do not have a home. Find a way home. Then you will get home. Christ Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and I am the life. So, friends, I pray that the Lord may bless us. I pray that the Lord may comfort you each and every day and show you the truth that is in Christ Jesus. I pray that the troubles that we go through in this world can show you, can remind us. They need to remind us that this is not home. There is a place prepared for you. There are many rooms. Bring your friends. Bring your neighbors. Bring your enemies. Bring your boss from work. Bring your neighbors. There are many rooms. And those who believe, they shall be with him. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it was not so, would I have not told you
that I would prepare a place for you?
And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come for you and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. There's a place for us
in
if we believe. Ask yourself, do you believe? Are you willing to turn from your sin? Are you willing to trust in Jesus and Jesus alone? As you contemplate on that, I pray that the Lord work in your heart. And those who have already turned from sin, I pray that you live as the citizens of heaven. May the good Lord bless you. Until we meet again next week. John 14.
Bye.
Verse 4 to 6. Next week. Amen. Let's pray. Precious and wonderful God, Savior, we thank you this morning for the opportunity you have granted to us to listen to your word, to speak your word, to reason together these things, to be challenged by you, O God, but above all, to be comforted by you in the troubles of this world, where there's sorrow, pain. But, O Lord, you say there is a place for us in heaven, prepared for us beforehand by your death, the sacrifice of the cross that brings many sons into glory. Thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for your wonderful truth, your love and your kindness. Thank you, O God, to be so kind and be patient with us. Father, Lord, bless our hearing that we may hear and do and not only hear until we meet again next week. Increase this house, O Lord. Bless the people that comes. Help us, O God, to preach the word to many people as we can. As next week, a group of brothers and sisters from Bethany, they come and they are working with us, going house to house, preaching your word. I pray, Lord, that truth may prevail over unbelief. In the name of Christ, amen. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen.